You are listening to Dishin' and Swishin', the world of women's hoops, on hoopfeed.com.
Hi, everybody. It's David Siegel. This week's Dishin' and Swishin', we're looking at the second version of the Game of the Century, which, of course, is the final regular season meeting between the Minnesota Lynx and the Phoenix Mercury, the two best teams in the WNBA thus far this season. Yeah, they gave us an exciting game last week, and we're going to talk about it all podcast this week, the upcoming matchup Saturday night in Phoenix. And I'm pleased to welcome first to the podcast ESPN and former WNBA and college star Rebecca Lobo. Rebecca, how you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
So, Rebecca, you were watching the game on NBTV like the rest of us last week, or on live access, since unfortunately ESPN did not have that one. And how many times did you say to yourself during the game, gee, I wish I was covering this one?
More than once. You know, I was thinking that last week we were doing the game in Phoenix on Tuesday, and we were doing some promos for games later that week, and I was like, gosh, I just wish that ESPN was covering that game or the next one. But, you know, I'm pretty confident that come Western Conference Finals, that'll be the matchup. But they're clearly the two best teams in the WNBA right now.
Well, you know, the Knicks had that incredible streak that Minnesota just ended. They were bordering on history, getting ready to break the record for most consecutive wins. You know, it's funny, you know, you talk about how defense wins championships and all, but this is a Phoenix Mercury team that has never been known for its defense. It's clearly improved with Brittany Griner on the back line, but it's still basically an offensive team.
They are an offensive team, but the numbers are striking in terms of the difference defensively for Phoenix this year compared to the last few years. You know, we were looking into it when we were doing the game last week that they had against Los Angeles. And Phoenix this year leading the league in points per game against. In the past 5 years, they were last in the league. And it's not just Brittany Griner. I think Sandy Brondello has a very different defensive mentality to this group. And, you know, they in that L.A. game that we did, I mean, the difference between the first half and the second half in terms of they were defending L.A.'s pick and roll completely changed L.A.'s effectiveness offensively. So while Phoenix is still a very potent offensive team, I think defense is night and day between this year and seasons past.
No, just to emphasize that again for people that may not be aware of that, you know, this Mercury team has only given 74 points per game to their opponents. And that is, you know, almost a full point ahead of second place Washington in that category. On the other side, is said Minnesota is, you know, right in the middle of the pack towards the back end, actually giving up 78 points per game. So you clearly would not have expected that from prior Mercury teams. You know, let's talk about Coach Brondello for a second. I mean, there were some questions about her on her first tenure as a head coach. It didn't work out that well. But, you know, she comes here and it's the culture change that is so impressive to me, the way that she's gotten Diana to buy in to being a point guard truly this year. I just think that she's done a great job changing the mindset of the players they have there.
Well, it's clear that they all really respect her, and they all have a, you know, previous history with her, whether it's Penny Taylor playing with her early on in her career with the Australian national team, or Diana Taurasi played for Sandy the past couple of years in Russia, you know, so there is a background with Sandy and some of those players, but it's clear, you know, I can tell when I'm around a team for you know, a few games, just the way they interact with their coach or how shoot-arounds are done. You can tell kind of the respect level that the players have or how much they're buying into what the coach is having them do, and they've completely bought in there. And I think especially when you have players like Diana Taurasi, she's such a charismatic strong leader for a team that if you have her loyalty or if you have her trust, then it's filtered down to the rest of the team. And I think that's clearly the case in Phoenix.
You know, we've seen Diana over the years put up big numbers, especially scoring. You know, this year she's leading the league in assists right now. Is this the best overall year you think you've seen from her in a while or maybe ever?
It's hard to say because she's had so many impressive years, but I think this could be one of the best of her career. Sandy Brondello was telling us before that LA game that she thought this was the best she'd seen Diana play. And, And anybody who's been around Diana from the time she was in college through her professional career, all she wants to do is win. It's, you know, even though she led the league scoring for those years, you know, that it's not she wasn't doing that because she wanted to lead the league in scoring. She was doing that because that's what her team needed for her to do in order to be as successful as possible. So, but you know, she just has a great way of knowing what her team needs and is willing to do that. Thought in that last game against Minnesota in particular, Minnesota defensively did a terrific job of frustrating Diana. And there's kind of a fine line to walk with her because sometimes you can get under her skin just enough and all of a sudden it's lights out and she takes it personally and then she has an unbelievable game. But I think Minnesota did a really good job of frustrating her from the beginning, you know, of the game early in the first quarter all the way to the end. I don't know how times I saw Diana look at the referee and put her hands in the air in frustration. And I understand that there are frustrating times. I understand that there were times where she was getting hit and not getting calls, but I thought affected the way she played in that game. And whether or not it impacted her 5 of 21 shooting, I don't know, but definitely let Minnesota frustrate her on the defensive end.
Well, let's use that to talk about the other side, the same two roles. Let's talk about what Cheryl Reeve brings to the team as a coach and the toughness and the physical mentality that she brings to her team. And then one thing I commented to people I was watching the game with was, you know, you're dealing with Taurasi and Lindsey Whalen with probably the two most physically strong point guard league, and the two of them both give and get as well as the other. But you're right. I thought that they definitely got into Diana's head a little bit with the refs not making those calls.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Minnesota and with Cheryl Reeve is they're a great defensive team, and they're a physical team, and they're not afraid to be physical with you. And I think that's the case with Phoenix as well. But you know, it's a great point about Diana and Lindsey Whalen. Those are two players who get to the free throw line a lot because they're oftentimes can kind of run over their opposing point guard using their strength and getting and ones. But you know, in that contest, there was just I just thought too many times where the frustration took over a little bit for Diana. But you know, Cheryl Reeve early on in the season, even when Maya was on her streak of 30-point games and they were putting up a ton of points, she was not happy about the way her team was playing defensively and the amount of points they were giving up. And yes, some of that was because of injury. I think Rebecca Brunson is such an underrated piece of what we do, and I think they're a much better defensive team, much better team overall now that she's back on the floor, even though she only has a few games under her belt. But, yeah, a physical game between two teams is what you're going to come to expect.
You know, you mentioned Brunson, and I'll throw into the same category. I'm going to throw Penny Taylor in there, and that you've got two players that have always been somewhat underappreciated compared to some other players, two legitimate stars in their own right, though, both of which make a huge difference when they're healthy and playing for their team. I had talked to Cheryl when they were in Connecticut the other week, and she said, you know, everybody had told me that our defense was changed when Rebecca came back. And then we played her first game, and I looked, and I said, oh, look, there's a jersey flying through the air, and it's ours, and it was her.
Yeah, Rebecca Brunson is one of my favorite players to watch in the league, and it's because of the team she's on. You know, she's going to get overshadowed by Simone or Maya or Lindsey Whalen at times. I couldn't believe when I watched her first game back, I think it was the Atlanta game, immediately what she was able to do and the impact she was able to have. She was flying the air, getting offensive boards, defensive boards. She didn't look like she had missed, you know, majority of the season, or especially didn't look like she was coming back from, you know, a knee injury, because she was just so explosive. And it's not only on the boards, but she's a terrific defender. She can help so much with pick and roll situations on the perimeter because she can switch onto smaller offensive players. Rebecca Brunson is such a huge part of what they do, getting them extra possessions. I'm just surprised how effective she is so early off of coming off of that surgery. But she completely, to me, changes that team, especially on the defensive end.
And then on Phoenix's side, you know, you've got Penny Taylor back. You know, she's scoring over 10 points a game now in only 22 minutes. You know, she's back in the starting lineup, and they lost that one game to Minnesota. since she's been in the starting line, a lot of the others. You know, this is another player that important as about Diana, and you could talk about, you know, Brittany Griner and important Candace Dupree is, but Penny Taylor has to be plugged in there for Phoenix to be as fine-tuned as they've been too.
Yeah, without question. And obviously they've been missing her the last years, but it cracks me up sometimes when I watch her, because you're looking at this player who's doesn't have the most explosive first step, but she can get by just about anybody. She's so crafty getting the ball to the basket. It's where, you know, not only is she a great three-point shooter, but her strength has always been just her uncanny ability to get to the rim, get layups. And another player with great size on the perimeter for them who is a very, very good passer. She obviously has great chemistry with Diane from playing together for the past bunch of years. So very, very key to that team. And she's a veteran, and she's won championships. And I think, you know, that can get lost too, is especially in the WNBA when you're not just talking about a one-and-done situation like in the NCAA tournament, but it's about these little adjustments that players make from game to game within a series once the playoffs start. And veteran players who have been there know what works, know how to treat their body when they get into those kind of situations in the playoffs, make a difference. And Penny is clearly one of those who's been through it many times before.
We would be remiss, of course, if we didn't talk about, you know, I guess from what I understand is that your new most valuable player vote is now going to Maya Moore.
it's hard for me because, I'm pretty consistent, actually. I always try to vote for the best player on the best team. And last, Maya Moore got my MVP vote because I thought Minnesota was clearly the best team and Maya Moore was the best player on that team. And especially when Phoenix was on this, you know, team game win streak, to me, they were the best team. I thought that once Minnesota got healthy, that they would right up there with Phoenix. But for that stretch, Phoenix is the best team. And to me, Diana Taurasi, best player on the best team, she was my leading candidate for MVP. Well, my thinking changed a little bit after their head-to-head matchup, and I'm one of those people who I will wait till the last day to send in all of my votes for who's going to be MVP and other things. But I mean, Maya has been phenomenal this year. She's basically given her team whatever they've needed, and all those 30-point games, a couple 4-point games, especially early on when they were missing some players, that's what her team needed. They needed her to think scoring first and foremost. But that last game between Minnesota and Phoenix, Maya Moore, and then Simone Augustus as well, but in the fourth quarter was the difference. You know, Maya kind of had a little bit of a quiet game for the first three quarters, but in the fourth quarter when it mattered most, it's when she started hitting a couple threes and doing those other things that she does. But I marvel when I watch her play because, you know, there's so many times where she is just absolutely unguardable, the way she can elevate over players and shoot the basketball and her unwavering confidence, even when she's not played great or not shot the ball great for a stretch of time, she will come through in the clutch. And as of today, anyway, she would get my MVP vote. I have to cast that for a couple more weeks.
Now, what's impressed me about it, or what you hit on, is the day in, day out, the statistical marvel that is Maya Moore. In addition to little plays at the same time, she's not scored less than 10 points in a game this year. Only in, I think, one or two games that she even had as low as 4 rebounds in a game, which is above that total every game, too. And, you know, when I was there, I'm definitely a Maya Moore watcher when the game is being played. And, you know, with a game that I had here, I counted at least 5 plays that wouldn't have appeared in the box score. Just a tip ball to Brunson for a layup, or, you know, a ball that was being juggled that she grabbed out of the air and hit Whalen for a layup. It's the little things that make the spectacular player. And that's what Moore does so impressively to me.
Yeah, she does a lot of those things, and she makes hustle plays, and sometimes she breaks plays, and then out of where she's getting a steal to go the other way. She clearly is a complete package, but to me, you know, her ability in the clutch to make those big plays, and, you know, I talked a little bit about Diana seeming so frustrated at times in that game. Maya never does. You know, Maya's kind of stoic going back forth, going end to end, just continues to play, and whether or not she gets frustrated, she doesn't really wear that on her sleeve, and she gets it done, and one of the younger players on that team, but you know, her teammates have to feel pretty good when, you know, if things aren't going well, they know that mom's ability at any moment to make a big play.
The other thing about her that has impressed me so much is her evolution as a person, too. And, you know, as you know, doing this, having and talking to these people all the time, Maya wasn't the most comfortable person still when she came out of college and having the spotlight on her and being the person that the media went to for quite a time. But she has evolved into a person that will, you know, talk to you, smile, do anything she needs to do in the public eye, yet still be just turn that switch and get right down to business.
Well, Maya, I think, has always had this real focus and kind of a singular focus on basketball and wanting to be a great basketball player and wanting to be a champion and wanting to be the best player that she can be. And I think as she's gotten older and matured, she's realized that you don't lose that focus if you let yourself relax a little bit off the court. And, you know, she's always been pleasant to deal with. And I think now she realizes, too, that it's not only okay to want to be the MVP, want to be the best player in the league, but it's okay to talk about that too. And she does it in a way that is not off-putting at all. But I agree with you. I just think there's just a real comfort level she has now with who she is, what she wants to accomplish on the basketball court, and understanding that, you know, that can go hand in hand with also losing some of that intensity when the game is not being played.
You know, and we could, of course, talk about this whole game and these two teams forever. So just two quick things I want to touch on. The duo Phoenix has in those, that's the slide, of course, Janelle McCarville on Minnesota. We already talked to Brunson. But, you know, we would be remiss if we didn't talk about the tandem of Candace Dupree and Griner. And what's ironic is, you know, look at the statistics for these two. You know, they're almost identical, of course, except for shot blocks. And you look at the size differential between these two, and it really talks volumes about the season that Candace Dupree has had, not putting aside the fact that Brittany Griner has also been such an impact player on this team, too.
Well, that's the thing with both of these teams, because they are so star-heavy that so many players can get lost. You know, we talked about Rebecca Brennan and Penny Taylor already, but, yeah, I mean, that's the case. Candace Dupree is an all-star. She's an amazing talent. Because of the way she's so unassuming, the look on her face never changes. She doesn't do anything that's necessarily spectacular. She just does everything so efficiently. And it's a terrific year. I mean, yeah, she rebounds the basketball. She makes these big shots, but they're generally, you know, turnaround bank shots. So there's not anything all that exciting. I mean, the Tim Duncan comparison has been used on her forever, and it's such an appropriate one because she just gets things done and is, you know, so kind of funnel and unassuming as she does it. And, you know, you brought up Janelle McCarville. She's one of my favorite centers to watch. She's the best passing center in the league. She finds players. She's another one who, you know, because she's on a team of superstars, just fits into her role and does whatever it is that needs her to do that night. But I love her game because of her passing ability. And you know, there's no center who can pass quite like she can. And, you know, and then back to Phoenix, you know, big girl Brittany Griner, what about the season she's had? You know, she's improved so much from a year ago. She's making these moves side and finishing, you know, whether it's a turnaround baseline fadeaway jumper or the jump hook to the middle. Again, another really efficient player, has become so much better in the pick and roll because it's not something she did at all in college, offensively or defensively. So it's going to be fun to watch her evolution over the next couple of years. If she continues to improve the way she did between season one and season two, you know, she's going to live up to the hype she had coming out of college.
And the last thing I wanted to touch on is, you know, it's sometimes an overused but underappreciated thing talking about those intangibles. And you look at these two teams, and one of the nice things about my seat at the Connecticut Sun games on press row is I sit right over by the visitor's bench. I get a chance to look at the interaction between the teams while they're on the sidelines. And there are some that just cheer on their team or just sit on there and watch. These teams have a genuine appreciation for everything that goes on from players 1 through 11 that's going on from the stars to the bench players. You know, it's just a joy to watch, you know, them cheering on everybody else. I mean, Tarazi and Moore are the first two to get up the bench waving towels if somebody else on the bench hits a three. You know, Whalen, you know, McCarville banked in a three in the game we saw. I think Whalen was walking all the way over to the foul lane. She with her arms up in the air. He was so excited. It's just one of those things about these two teams that genuinely seem to be fun.
Well, how often, David, do you hear people talk about the culture of winning and the culture of a championship team in sports? And that is one of the huge parts of it, and both these teams clearly have it. And it extends on the court, too. You know, if a player gets fouled going in for an and-one and they fall down on the baseline, you know, a champ team has their four teammates run over and give them a hand to help them up. It's just a completely different a different vibe that you get when you watch those teams or you're around those teams. And I think those two teams, not only are they the most talented in the league, but they have that better than anybody else. And that's why I think they're the only two teams in my mind that win a five-game series and be the WNBA champion. You know, after the game we did last week, the Phoenix-LA game, and I interviewed Diana Trost immediately after the game, and what was she talking to me about? But what a great teammate Shea Murphy was and how excited she was and happy she was to have Shea Murphy on the team, not only because of her ability on the court, but she was talking to me about what a great teammate she is to have in the locker room and how she keeps everyone loose and just one of the personalities. So without question, those are the things that matter. And, you know, when my favorite players are the ones who cheer louder when one of their teammates does something well and get more pumped up when one of their teammates does something well than when they themselves do something well. And I think both Phoenix and Minnesota have a lot of players on their teams who have that quality. They just really enjoy playing with one another and thrive when their teammates are performing at a high level.
You know, the one thing, you know, UConn may have started this whole high five and after the three-pointers and the celebration after the three-point, but they took it to a higher art form in the game in Connecticut. Now, Moore, McCarville, and Whalen were all out of the game, and Ken White hit a three. And Maya stood up on the bench, reached back over her shoulder, pulled an arrow out of her sack, pulled back the arrow, and shot it at the end of the down to the end of the bench at McCarville, who fell over backwards. It was one of the funniest things I have ever seen on a basketball court. And, you know, I asked them about it afterwards, and they said, oh, yeah, we always try and come up with something new. But that's just, you know, my point being, that's a team of fun. And that's a team that can go on to win a championship if they continue to have fun like that.
See, now you're going to have me watching the bench anytime that Ken White hits a three and one of those guys might be out of the game. I mean, that's what it's all about, right? I mean, they're professional athletes, but it's still about having fun. And, oh, gosh, that's funny. I hope we get to see them do that some more this year.
Well, Janelle did say that normally she tries to stand up so that she goes down better. She was tired after just coming up.
Well, speaking of Janelle, anyone who follows her on Twitter saw that she had a video of Cheryl Reeve falling asleep on their last flight going to wherever they were going. And she posted it was, you know, next time you don't give me a hug when I'm tired, this is what happens. And so anyway, it's worth looking at Janelle McCarville's Twitter account to find that video.
Oh, that's that one. I have to go see that. That's
it's
great.
Good stuff.
Rebecca, thanks again for taking time this morning to talk about this game. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, I know that you don't get to cover this one, but like I said, the Western Conference Finals is a different story.
Yeah, the Western Conference Finals is the WNBA Finals this year. So it's going to be exciting.
Thanks again. And keep up the great work. We're loving all the calls. You and Mark make a great team. I must say. I enjoy listening to you both at the college of the conference.
Thank you so much, David.
Hey, this is Becky Hammond of the San Antonio Silver Stars, and you're listening to Dishing and Swishing.
Hey, everybody. You know, we're talking about the Phoenix Mercury versus the Minnesota Lynx round four this week, a game that's shaping up to be one of the most important games of the WNBA season. And, you know, Minnesota has been on fire, and I've got not one but two of my favorite players in the WNBA on the line right now, and that is the Minnesota tandem of Lindsey Whalen and Janelle McCarville. Ladies, how are you today?
We're doing good. Feeling pretty, feeling well.
Now, can you guys believe, first of all, that I first came across you guys 10 years ago at the Final Four in New Orleans is when we first met. Can you guys believe it was 10 years now, that long ago?
Not really. You know, I think every now and then it'll pop into my head that it's been that long or feel a little bit longer, but for the most part, no. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, I guess time really flew by, and, you know, luckily me and Waylon were able to hook up since then and, you know, spend some time here together in Minnesota. But, no, those Gopher days, those are something special.
It certainly was. Now, Lindsay, you know, for a couple of years there now, you know, you played with Janelle, and then you were without Janelle, and now she's back. So, you know, it just seems that the two of you guys, you never separated in terms of being able to communicate on the court. And that's just a beautiful thing to watch.
It is, and it's a really great thing to be a part of, you know, to express connection on the floor with a great player like Janelle. You know, we read each other so well. We're involved in a lot of plays together. It's really picking roles, and we've been doing it for so many years. We can, you know, hurt you a lot of different ways, whether it's, you know, blurred three-pointer, me cutting off the ball. You know, we try to mix it up and just kind of play off each other and have fun, you know. Defensively, we're on a lot together, too, guarding pick and roll. And so our communication is vital to, you know, our team's success, and I feel like we've, you know, just been able to continue to and work hard together and for the most importantly, have fun and be successful at the same time.
There's no question that fun is the operative word when this team gets together. You know, it's clear that you all are having a great time playing together. And, you know, now that Brunson and Augustus are back, you know, this is a team that's looking like 2011, 2013 championship teams. Janelle, are you guys getting that mojo back, ready to make that run for the playoffs? It's feeling good to have everybody back together?
Yeah, I still think we're getting acclimated a little bit together. You know, having missed Brunson for most of the season, been back, I think, now for 5 or 6 games. You know, you don't realize how lucky you are until you actually have her back and realize what she does for you. Same thing with Simone. Her mid-range game is one of the toughest in the league to guard, and I think that's where we get a lot of our problems from. So definitely having those two back, offensively and defensively, it propels them. So,
yeah,
collectively as a group, you know, we're looking strong in this home stretch.
You know, the one question I do have to ask you, Janelle, is, you know, so how does the bobblehead look? Does it have the faux hawk? Is it looking good, true to the real person?
Yeah, there's some similarities. I got the earrings right. I got the hair right. The face looks beautiful, you know, so it's pretty similar. It's got my number pretty much.
I heard you got to be careful where you put it on your shelf, because if it's too close to another person, somebody that's not a Lynx player, they just hip check it off the shelf.
Possibly. I mean, I don't know. If I come alive when you get put in the cupboard or anything.
Lindsay, I talk about the hip check, and Janelle set some of the best picks that I've ever seen, and she has just laid out players throughout her entire WNBA career. But, you know, you mentioned how you guys use the screen roll over the years. You know, how do you think that has evolved and that Janelle's pick-setting ability has impacted this team over the last couple of years?
I think it really makes us go, you know. I mean, I think that her ability to set up, set up players and really get a good screen on, I mean, it's just invaluable, really. I mean, it's most of our offense is either – you know, start with her having the ball, and then she's, you know, dribbling at or setting a screen, or they start with a ball screen like we tackle her with me. But I think that, you know, pin down or pretty much 95% of offense, you know, go through now for us because she's a playmaker. She's like setting on screens. She really has a knack for just getting in the right position and we have players who can rise, the fire. So, chance we can get them the ball to Maya in a position where they're,
able to rise, and she's great. It's really an art. It's in that, not many players have that. You know, I think that's one thing that younger players should watch. Janelle coming up is just on the screen. You know, it's just something that's just, yeah, you know, go to the screen. But no, it's like how to set a screen, how to plant your feet, how to not get a moving screen. You know, all those things are just such a big part about basketball. And Janelle's got it done. It's a big reason that we've been so on offense for sure.
For the most part, I still get some moving screens because, you know, it happens. But everything else she said was correct.
Well, you know, the referees have to call something sometime on you. I mean, it's in the rule book that they have to call about 3 or 4 fouls on you just automatically in every game.
Yeah, that's okay. I get sick, so.
So, you know, just the last question in the Love Fest area. You know, tell me about the evolution of Lindsay Whalen and what's different about her now from when you played with her in Minnesota. How has she evolved as a player?
That's a tough one. I'm sitting right here looking at her. Wade doesn't want to talk about her no more. She's good.
Okay, well,
she's one of the top players in the league, I'll say that.
Guys, we're heading into this big game against Phoenix. You know, first place is getting closer to you guys. You're pulling up even. You guys are on fire. You know, Lindsay, talk for a second about what this game means to you and for the Lynx to continue their winning ways in Phoenix.
You know, we've had some really games with them this season. You know, we've been so many times throughout the last bunch of years, not only the regular season or the playoffs. It's always, you know, they have good players, they're great players, and it's always a good game and a highly contested atmosphere, a lot of energy. It's always you always bring your A game and you're ready to go.
You know, Lindsay, one thing that I commented is you and Taurasi are strongest point guards that I've seen in years in the WNBA, and the ability to get in the lane, finish, draw the fouls. You know, how do you play against somebody that can do that?
You just have to try to, you know, usually a pretty good matchup with Diana, because, like you said, we're both physical, we can both make a hit. For me on defense, if I have to go against her, it's holding my ground and make her, if she makes a tough shot over me, then that's a great offensive play by her, and I'm sure she feels the same way, you know, about me, that if you got your body in front of them in the basket and they have to make a tough shot, then, you know, that's just a good play for them, and go down the other end and try to get a good play and try to stop them next time. You know, that's all you can do. With a great player like Diana, you just have to try to stay in front of her, move your feet, keep ball pressure, and just try to make it difficult for her to run and facilitate their offense.
Yeah, Janelle, you and Brunson, great combination. Both use your bodies so well, boxing out, getting in good position. You know, Dupree and Griner, great combination as well. What do you look to do when you play against somebody like that?
Defensively, try to get Brittany off the block. You know, the deeper she gets, you know, obviously 6'8", the wingspan she has, it's almost a drop step dunk if she's close enough. And, you know, I ain't trying to be part of history in that aspect. So I'm trying to get her as far off the block as possible, make her take tough, contested, post moves, and same thing with Dupree is make her take a tough contested shot on the outside, try to eliminate things she likes to do.
Guys, quick comment on the season that Maya Moore is having as well.
Okay, Maya's good.
She's been unbelievable all season, you know, more than just scoring. Of course, in the locker room, leadership-wise, I think that she's really just stepped up and brought needed help. Brought what we needed. She's really fun to be on her team and just kind of over the last years.
And she's certainly become a dominant force out there, and it has my vote for most valuable player. I'll tell you that. Guys, I want to thank you for taking time after shoot around, and and enjoy the rest of the season. It's been a great run so far, and we're looking forward to seeing this game against Phoenix and then on to the postseason. And, you know, Lindsay, your namesake dog will be sitting right beside me watching that game.
Awesome. Thank you.
Take care, guys.
Have a good one.
Bye-bye.
Bye.